What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are here. It's Monday. Appreciate each and every one of you. All of you that have subscribed, all of you that have just listened randomly throughout your day, your journey, all that good stuff. And hopefully you guys can stick around and hear my BS for a little bit. So we're just going to dive right in here. Nick Adams on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, Nick Adams is what I would call a selective boycott attention-seeking whore. He's trying to call for a mass boycott of the Kendrick Lamar halftime show over his pro-abortion song in 2022. Of course, we'll see how those results go. If ratings and stuff will come out. But I saw this and I gotta say this. All of these conservative douche nozzles that are looking for something to make hay out of, they're not exactly boycotting. The boycotts, let me rephrase this. Do you know how many rock and roll / metal bands of various genres have mocked Jesus Christ, had rapes on stage, have had sacrifice stuff on stage? I mean, Alice Cooper, you would bring out a guillotine and chop his head off. There's so much of this going on. And Nick Adams is only going to boycott Kendrick Lamar? Are you serious? The dude is a fucking dolt. He just is. And I'm tired. I'm just growing really tired of this. It's like, if you're going to do a boycott, do a real fucking boycott. If you really care about Christianity, then boycott every black metal band that comes rolling through town. Every time they get on stage, shout to the heavens if you need to. Pull tickets. Do whatever the fuck you got to do. But you don't. You attack other lesser. You attack low-hanging fruit. And it's fucking ridiculous. And I think it's dumb. And the guy just needs to wake the fuck up. I'm going to talk about. This is from Call to Activism. And we are definitely going to play this in its entirety because it needs to be played.
Luxury real estate brothers who were twins and another sibling all arraigned in federal court today on sex trafficking charges.
Prosecutors say they've spoken to more than 60 alleged victims at this point. Alice Skeener covers courts and was there today.
Tal, Oren, and Alon Alexander, all in their late 30s, entered the courtroom in prison clothing with their hands cuffed and feet shackled. The brothers pleaded not guilty to sex trafficking charges. Federal prosecutors allege the Alexander brothers worked together and with others to drug, sexually assault, and rape dozens of victims, luring them in, they argue, with the promise of romantic relationships, luxury travel, parties, and events. Tal and Oren were luxury real estate agents in New York City and in Miami. In 2019, Tal gave CBS a tour of this Manhattan penthouse. Alon was an executive for a private security firm owned by the family. Prosecutors previously revealed videos found allegedly show the brothers and others engaged in sexual acts with women who appear under the influence of drugs or alcohol and unaware they were being recorded. On Friday, prosecutors told the judge they intend to file a superseding indictment with additional victims. They say they've interviewed more than 60 women who allege at least one of the brothers raped them. Prosecutors also told the court the discovery is substantial and includes iCloud accounts, Instagram and Facebook accounts, dating apps, laptops, hard drives, and cell phones. An attorney for one of the brothers released a statement that reads, quote, "These charges are an overreach by the government that in no way amount to sex trafficking. We have no doubt the evidence will prove that these are all false allegations and the Alexanders are innocent." The twins have also been criminally charged in Florida along with their cousin. The Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office released video statements given by three women.
I was crying, and I know the whole time I was asking them not to do it. I was just like, please no, please no. They were both talking about who was going to go first.
I was kept saying no.
Federal prosecutors here in New York say the investigation is on.
Well, there you go, right? There's your context. And the call to activism account says this. Two real estate brothers who worked with Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner have been charged in, you heard it there, the raping and all that. And, of course, it goes on to say that they are both giant Trump supporters who were in the room on election night, etc. This is something else. Now, I know, okay, I am a Republican. I also gave you a few episodes ago where I said, hey, I don't buy the Trump thing. I didn't vote for it. But I have to say this. Democrats out there, activists, all of you guys, not everything that they are associated with is 100% makes them what makes them complicit in it. Like, they're not involved in it. Like, Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner did not participate in the raping of X amount of women or the drugging of these women. So why would you sit there and say, oh, they're supporters? You know, it's like, who cares? Who gives a shit if they are supporters? They're still rapists. Then and it's almost like saying that it just, you're blaming, you're trying to put everything on these, on the Trump family, when it doesn't need to be. And this is just I guess you could say clickbaity bullshit. But let's get to something that I want to do here. This is Ro Khanna, my Democratic knucklehead out there in California. Excuse me. This is his 2-minute diatribe bullshit on the Department of Education.
Mr. Speaker, NBC News is reporting that President Trump plans to eliminate the Department of Education with an executive order. This is an assault on every young American who went to public school like me. This is an assault on every American family who has someone who is disabled and needs the IDEA program to provide education. This is an assault on every neighborhood in America that has a public school that gets Title I funding. This is an assault on every child who gets school lunches in America. This is an assault on our public teachers across this country. This is an assault on every American who has gotten any federal financial aid to go to vocational school or to go to public college or to get an education like I did. The president does not have the constitutional authority to do this. It is cruelty. It is taking away the bedrock of education in this country. Thomas Jefferson said you can't have a democracy without an educated citizenry. What built America, what made us exceptional, is that we allowed Americans to go and finish high school before World War II while the Europeans didn't. 80% high school graduation compared to 20 and 30% in the European nations. And yet President Trump wants to take all of that away, snatching money from our public schools, snatching money from our teachers, snatching money from our families who have kids who need the help.
Ro Khanna is a fucking, how do I say this? How the fuck do I say this? Ro Khanna is a fool. He's an idiot. Right? Or he's just trying to rile up the Democratic base, or I don't know what he's trying to, his specific goal here is just so he gets reelected the next turn, you know, in next congressional election. That's the only thing I can fucking think of, because, okay, first off, Trump said he wants to get rid of it. Reagan said he wanted to get rid of it too. So they want to give, which I don't think is a bad idea, that they want to give the education back to the states and let the states handle their own educational systems and not have it be done federally or subsidized through the federal government or however you want to say it. It's kind of the same thing when he said abortion should be a state's issue, and he feels education should be a state's issue. So if he were to accomplish, if that happened, if that idea went through, that's not the worst thing in the world. The only thing you would have is 50 states with 50 different ideas on educating and what they feel would be mandatory education, what have you. But this whole crap about it being an assault and all this nonsense, it is nonsense because, first off, it was put in legislatively through the Department of Education Organization Act in 1979. It was implemented in May of 1980. It began to fully operate. Its functions were to distribute federal money, civil rights law, educational research, things like that. And over time, though, it's evolved from the Office of Education to the Bureau of Education. It eventually became a standalone department. And this is all you guys need to know. It is a legislative law. It is passed through Congress. It is 100% legal, right? So Donald Trump gets up there and says, I want to get rid of the Department of Education, and I'm going to do it through executive order. And Ro Khanna goes and does a stupid-ass speech. But but we all know that an executive order is not sufficient to eliminate legislation. He can, though, direct the operations of the executive branch and management of federal agencies through executive order. So he could say to the Department of Education that you are no longer doing civil rights law, or we're not doing that, that's going to be somebody else. Or he could take the federal funding from educational research and remove it through executive order. He could do a lot of those types of things, but he cannot dismantle the Department of Education without Congress. So the fact that it was established through legislation, eliminating it requires legislation, passing a law to abolish another one. Or, as we've seen with amendments, you need an amendment. You are amending the Constitution, right? Whether it's you have a Second Amendment that will never go away, but you can have a 30th Amendment, say, let's say, to amend that. You could do that. This would be a thing that would face a lot of legal challenges. It is a contentious process to get the department dismantled through Congress. So Trump would have a hard time doing this because there are a lot of Republicans, a lot of diehard Republicans that would side with the entire Democratic caucus, and they would basically bury this fucking thing at sea. So Ro Khanna is just up there wasting fucking air, and he knows it. And it's so infuriating to watch these guys. It's the same thing when they were all over there protesting in front of the door of the Department of Education while they were doing the audit. And then a judge blocked the payment system access and all this nonsense, all this other stuff of stuff. It's all theatrical bullshit. All of it. You know, rather than just know in your heart that you're not getting rid of it, the only thing they're mad at is that the funds might be reallocated, which would cause maybe it would cause a break in the system. But isn't that what we voted for? Didn't we vote for a system reconstructed, audited, destroyed, rebuilt? Isn't that what we voted for? I mean, isn't that what we asked from the president? And I just find that interesting that all the Democrats don't recognize that. And that's just my thing on it. And it's very stupid, in my opinion. I am going to I'm going to transition this into local sports for a second. I'm from California, and I have been a diehard Sacramento King fan. I am 45, so I'm not since the dawn of time, obviously, but all the way back, Mitch Richmond days in the late 80s, early 90s. And I've seen a lot of terrible years in Sacramento, a lot of losing seasons. And there's maybe three or four times out of its history that the Kings have been a part of a fiasco. And a lot of it always seems to center around a generational talent that doesn't want to be there anymore. Or a player that is viewed as the face of the franchise that ends up going somewhere else because they don't like ownership. There's always something going on. And our most recent one was De'Aaron Fox. Now, I did a thing with my son where we talked about Mike Brown being fired, played a lot of clips. We had a bit of a back and forth on what we interpret those clips to be. And I don't understand what happened, but I guess De'Aaron Fox felt the need to do a little damage control recently. So he got in touch with Sacktown Sports 1140, talking to a guy. The morning host goes by the name of Carmichael Dave, and he also talked with ESPN 1320. He had a conversation with one of the hosts there, Damian Barling. And it just sounds like a little PR damage control or clearing the air, maybe. But the gist of it is that he showed proof that the text messages were after the trade deadline. All right, whatever. But then he also said a few things to these guys where it's like, if you fire the head coach, I don't want to be here anymore. And then he says he expects to be moved in the offseason. And then he said he expects to be traded to somebody at some point in the summer. He didn't expect to be moved during the season and all this stuff. And one of the things that struck me about this PR campaign, this clearing of the air, if you will, is that for whatever reason, De'Aaron Fox had no motivation to win games. And he proved it on the court night in and night out. And I don't think the front office is that fucking destructive to where it affects every inch of the team, because he says he doesn't have help. Now, DeMarcus Cousins said this too, and another former player, and I will say that it's bullshit because because you don't sit there and bring in Fox's case, you don't bring in Sabonis, you don't bring in DeRozan, you don't bring in draft a guy like Keegan Murray, you don't trade for a really accomplished shooter in Kevin Huerter, who has dropped off. We'll get to him in a little bit. And you just don't see that and sit there and say you're not getting any help. You just don't. It's a very sad thing to watch. Is this guy is like, he's almost like he's flailing out there trying to not be seen in a bad light. And he said he didn't want his coach fired. It's like, well, this is why I get irritated with a lot of things in life. It's like, I don't want the coach fired. You fired him. You were, at the time that this was started, I believe they were 8-6. 8 wins, 6 losses. And they began to tailspin right after the Draymond Green interview on his podcast, and Mike Brown's defending himself, and he's taking shots at Fox, and Fox doesn't like being called out ever. He also doesn't like to be, you know, attacked because he gets mad or something. But it's very much, it's just, to me, it's, the guy doesn't have the motivation. He doesn't have the motor to go 82 games. He doesn't have the willpower, the want to be number one option, to be the face of the franchise, to push the team. If you didn't want your head coach fired, then maybe you should have played better, tried harder. And I don't think you need a coach to tell you that you don't foul a shooter when you're up three. You just don't do that. And time and score should give you all the brain power, or however you want to say this. It's just, he's a guy that does not want to be the face of a franchise. He wants to be an obscure 20-point scorer. He does not want championships. He does not want to be the man to take over a game. He doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't want that smoke, if you will. And he showed it every year for 8 years in Sacramento. He would continually not show up till the fourth quarter when the game is basically decided. He would continually not take his first shot until damn near the end of the first quarter. It's bullshit. That's just my take on it. I could talk all day on this, but if you want to keep your head coach, win fucking games, give a shit, play like it matters every game. And that is something that he never did. And of course, recently, he's been in his third game in San Antonio and he played poorly. He didn't shoot the ball well, not a whole lot went his way. And I think that's just who he is. The next guy is Kevin Huerter. And I don't know what's in the water when they leave Sacramento, but they always want to have, there's always this parting shot at the organization and the coaching staffs and what have you. Here's a quote directly from him during an interview with the Bulls, who he got traded to. Sacramento was a little up and down. I didn't really get much opportunity those last couple of months. The flow and the rhythm of the game, I think it was very choppy the past year plus. The fact that we're going to play up and down here, the ball is going to move side to side. No one's really going to dominate the ball, and we're not going to run the same action over and over and over again. Interesting. It feels like it's a better fit. Okay. The first year he was in Sacramento after the trade, he shot the snot out of the ball. He would come off of those screens, those dribble handoffs, those pin downs. He would basically, it was a hit every time. And then he did the 3-point contest and he lost. And then you started to see a change in his confidence. And every time he came off, he would end up missing. Anytime he'd get a wide open three, he wouldn't really take it. Every time he went to the basket, he had a little more success, but that's not who he is, and he would get a little hesitant, a little timid. And then this year, then he hurt his shoulder, and he hasn't been the same since. His production is way down. He became essentially unplayable basically because of the injury. And then he gets traded, and he says shit like that, and you kind of sit there and go, well, it wasn't like you didn't get the opportunity, because this guy missed shot after shot after shot of a wide-open three or even a mid-range for a better part of a year and a half. They would put him out there, and they would attempt to showcase him for an extended period of time, and he would not perform. Ironically, though, after this talk, he played 20 minutes in Chicago, and he was 1 for 7. And I believe it was only like 2 points or something is what he finished with. So you're still playing like shit. So don't sit there and say this is the fault of Sacramento or to say that the problems were because of X amount of things in Sacramento when you're still shooting like shit. And that's just kind of, it's kind of irritating that these guys do this. And I just don't like it. I think it's dumb. And I think that there should be, I think there should be like a gag order or some shit on these guys, because it's something that is absolutely nonsense, and it should just be as that. Well, guys, that's it. That's Monday. It's in the bag. I apologize for it being fairly disjointed. I'll be better tomorrow. Later. I want to break your soul into